Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Very good. So today we're reading from Psalms 37, verses 1 to 9. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land.
Wise words from the psalmist. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity today to experience wisdom from your scriptures and around our discussion time today. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate for us what you desire for us to learn. And so we open our hearts and our lives to what you want to speak to us today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Can you say hi to three people before you take a seat? Those of you who are watching online, let us know where you're watching from. I wanted to just send a special shout out to Rowena Schuster, who's here, my sister from Auckland, Southside. She's here with her two sons, my nephews, Nehemiah and Joey, we call him Joey. And Rowena and my brother-in-law, Taulu, pastor our church in Auckland on the south side, the real spot where it's at in Auckland. So if you're ever in Auckland, New Zealand, please do go and hang out with our spiritual family out there in South Auckland, out in Manukau City. Today, basically, we're wrapping up this series called The Greatest Hits. And I do have a special guest who's going to come and help me to unpack this a little bit more just with regards to their journey. Many of you I have already known and are excited about our session later this afternoon. But just to recap, as we're ending this series, we talked about from the scriptures, we talked about looking at the book of Psalms and looking at the topic of lament. Lament meaning God meeting us in the tension of the space between where God is good and where life is hard. How many of you have experienced that over especially the last couple of years walking through this pandemic, that God gives us the space for us to cry out to him in lament? And I think that's really important tool for us to have as Christians, as followers of God, to be able to lament before him. Secondly, we went through the topic of meditation, and that Christian meditation is the main aim is to fill our minds and our hearts with the scriptures and in an effort to connect with God. And then lastly, last week we were excited to have from our Logan Church, Pastor Henry, come and speak to us about praise, which means to attribute worth in proclamation. And so today we're going to be talking about the topic of wisdom and learning. A lot of the theme of what we're going to experience today in our service and then also in our wise learning session later on. I'm really excited for that, starting at 1 o'clock, so you can go and grab your lunch and then come back. A lot of that's going to be powerful, and we're going to look at it today in our service with regards to wisdom from the Psalms. I've given it the subtitle, How to Not Be Stupid. Anybody here have a deep desire in their heart to be stupid? No, nobody's putting up their hands. All right, well, that's good. You're in the right place. Well, I guess without further ado, and I just really want to introduce you all to a very dear friend of mine. We've been friends for going on to 20 years plus. Yeah, so, you know, like, I've known him since I was 2, obviously, so that means I lied in church again. But I've known Dr. Wallace and Cheryl for a very long time, and they're very close friends of mine and Tina's. Tina's known Wallace and Cheryl even longer than I have, but we're really blessed today to have them, and Dr. Wallace is going to come and encourage us. I want to read I want to make sure I read the introduction so you understand this Renaissance man who loves to learn in multidisciplinary areas. His undergrad course was in economics and political science. He has two master's degrees, one in entrepreneurship and another in educational leadership. How many of you love educational leadership and that sort of stuff? We've got a few teachers and educators in the house, people in education. He also studied to be a paralegal in UP. Anybody down with UP here? All right, we've got some University of the Philippines, College of Law. He recently graduated with a PhD in educational psychology, has over 3 decades of entrepreneurial experience, and a decade and a half as school headmaster. That's pretty powerful. He retired as a school administrator last year and recently started companies in the technology and publishing space. His passion for learning goes a long way. His first job was when he was a college student, worked in sales as a salesperson for a company that specialized in memory, creativity, and cognitive learning. That's why he's my friend, because I don't have any of those things. I'm trying to learn them. It was part of God's providence that he was given the opportunity to own and manage schools that allowed him to not only implement various learning-oriented initiatives, but to also learn from his community of learners. And the Lord has blessed him with over 25 years of blissful marriage to my dear sister Cheryl, who's also an educator. Many of you have been to the Philippines, visited our Victory Church in the fort. She oversees the school that's there, if you're ever there. And they have a 25-year-old daughter named Sweet, who lives in Sydney right now. So please give it up for Dr. Wallace Panlilio as he comes to join me today. Come on up, brother. This is your seat. So I've tried my best to introduce you, but I just wanted to ask you this question. If you could tell us a little bit more about yourself and just your journey towards discovering the importance of learning.
First of all, thank you very much for inviting me here.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming here and not just to attend the service, but to give me the opportunity to share with you what hopefully things that you can take home and apply in your lives. When it comes to learning, I've always been interested not just in the content or the subject matter per se, but ever since I was in college, I've always been interested in the psychology, the art and science of learning. And as the pastor has shared, I got very what spurred my interest was when I had my first job. It was in a learning company, and that became the seed of my journey as an educator. And I didn't go straight to the world of the academe or research. I became an entrepreneur for over 3 decades, and that allowed me to be exposed to different industries. And from there, I became an educator and started the schools in the Philippines. But what's very interesting for me is that I saw the need, the huge need in society when it comes to learning how to learn better. Because this is like so foundational. And because of that, I decided for my PhD to take on educational psychology and to understand it better, and not just based on my personal experience as an administrator, because there could be like various cultural factors, there can or the context of our school. But what I'd like to see is like, okay, what really works best? What are the most important principles? And because of that, that allowed me to go through and dive deep into research. And when I finished my PhD studies, I realized that there's so much research out there that's already been made. I didn't really even have to reinvent the wheel for most of them. It's just a matter of letting the world know about the results of this research. And it's such a waste that not many are actually have been sharing this to the general public. And that's the reason for my journey now, or like writing the book. It's called The Wise Learners. And I have a co-author who's Russian-Ukrainian, Dr. Artyom. And he's a neuroscientist, and we're working together to write this book based on learning principles and strategies, you know, which that are research-based.
That's so exciting. Yeah, I think, you know, as Christians, we often forget that the greatest commandment that God gives us is to love God with our heart, soul, and strength, and our mind. And obviously, you're a man of faith. In the many years I've known you and seen you and Cheryl exemplify faith in the way you educate and your passion for education. But I'd love to hear more about how does your faith in God inform your passion for learning?
One of the biggest faith element that has impacted me all these years is stewardship. The Lord has given all of us various forms of blessings, giftings. Right? And because of that, I feel very, very responsible that to make sure that I don't curtail, I maximize, that I'm able to bring to the utmost, you know, bring to its full, to bring forth, to be fruitful, the things that the Lord had given to me. And in many cases, in most cases, it won't be easy. There will be challenges or be struggles. But because of that concept of stewardship, where I know that this is something that came from the Lord, and this is something that should not be wasted. It's like the parable of the talent, right? That I'm able to, that I should make the effort to make sure that I don't waste it. And in doing so, the blessing is it's something that that won't just be for myself, but it will really be for His kingdom and for society in general. And just to kind of share briefly, when we used to live in Singapore, that's where Datigas and our family got to know each other first. When we moved back to the Philippines, I had no connection with education at all. My wife was the educator. She studied in Singapore to become an educator. So I was in the telecom space. I was working with the telcos of the regions, traveling to Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia to work with different telecom operators. And when we moved back to the Philippines, we had the opportunity to be involved in the school. And at the time, just like, okay, I thought that was just going to be Cheryl who will be involved as an educator. And I will be by her side, helping out as a businessman, handling the finances, general management, just to support as church volunteers, because at that time that was a church school. But then, as we went along at the time, then with the encouragement of my wife, I became more and more involved as an educator, and until finally I embraced it. So studied. Master's, and then eventually for the PhD. So it was like full embrace. And that's, I would say that that's kind of like an example of how gifting can be developed and grown so that it will be very, very fruitful from its inception to what can become very impacting to the ministry and to the society.
Well, I'm really excited for our session later on today, and hopefully all of you can join us at 1 p.m. for the Wise Learner session. But I did want to ask this because of your many years of experience in as an educator and being in education, especially as it pertains to running schools, because how many of you who are parents here are recognizing the importance of imparting cultural discernment to our children? And knowing how to discern what is truth and what is worldly and not necessarily the truth. Like, well, I guess the question I wanted to frame is, like, how might we, because I know we'll unpack this a lot more later, so just give them a taste, but how might we, how have you in your experience in creating an environment in the schools that you've led where you're educating and even discipling children to be able to discern culture so that when they go out into the workforce or to other spaces, when they're interacting with friends, they're able to discern what is the truth of God and what might lead them away from God's design.
It starts with the scriptures, where all of us would have to understand in a deeper way, in a deeper manner, what the principles of the scriptures are about. With so many things that are evolving and changing across the world, with technology and with things that we have never imagined can happen, right? Like 20 plus years ago, some of the things that we take for granted are prevalent. Some of the things that, like, let's say, smartphones, which is a relative young technology, right? So I can remember that in the past, it's like I just had a wish list where, like, oh, I wish that I can do a to-do list, you know, like with my phone, which is like so normal nowadays, right? But there was a time when I was a bit younger when that was a wish list, right? So it's like, and that has already evolved. So easy to communicate with other people wherever you're working. Like another example, it's like I can't imagine, like, so I have a company with where I engage with about 300 staff, and it's like, and this is like all over the world, and from the Philippines all the way to South Africa, and there's no full-time employee in the company. And 20 years ago, that's like kind of like an impossible vision to, you know, a reality, right? But nowadays, it's something that's norm, that's kind of like the norm. People are not surprised anymore. So those are just a few examples of how the world has changed drastically. How that has also impacted culture, right? So how technology, how the pandemic has impacted the nuances of culture. And we'll need to have reference points, because those are like, all these things are like the weather, right? Like you're like in the ocean, where you have like with the wind blowing this way, that way. But you will need, all of us will need reference points. We will need to have a structure, a pillar that will allow us to say, okay, this is where I stand. And that's where the importance of understanding the scriptures, because those will serve as our pillars, as our reference points, as our compass, because there will always be something new, right? But to go back to the scriptures will allow us to, I don't have to be swayed here or there, because the scriptures already provide us the principles that will guide us every which way.
So good, so good. You were talking about your younger self. I did want to ask the question that we often ask in these sorts of times. If you were to give advice to your 15-year-old self, a piece of advice specifically with regards to learning, what piece of advice would you give to 15-year-old Wallace?
If there's one thing that I will advise myself, is to be very conscientious about processes. Yes.
Yeah, expand on that. That's good.
Because if we're conscientious about our processes, we'll become more intentional, we'll be more cognizant, we'll understand, this is not the best way to do it. This is not the best way to learn. I can learn better. Or, oh, okay, tried this before, it didn't work. Oh, I should do it this way. By doing that, it's a tool. It's a mindset tool that will allow us to learn and understand which ones to retain and which ones to change and which ones to make sure that, okay, when I apply this, I'd be able to retain this for many other applicational context. And so that by being mindful of the process, we'll be able to expand the way we can be more effective in how we handle things.
Okay, break that down, because we actually have 15-year-olds in the room, or people around their age. So I know the 15-year-old me would not even talk about cognitive thinking, right? So break that down to chicken McNugget size for those of us who are 15 and 46 that still need a little bit of help there.
So how many of you love to watch NBA games? Okay. How many of you love to watch sports? Yeah. Okay. Sports. So I'm a big NBA fan.
He's a Laker fan. Any Laker fans in here?
Okay, so
it's the weakest shout ever. See, that's just like the team. Just like the team. Miami Heat. Go ahead.
So even though I'm a Laker fan, one of my favorite player for all time is Steph Curry. Okay, he's such a great shooter. And one of the stories that I read about him was that when he was younger, he has shown promise as a shooter. You know, right now, for those who might not be familiar, he's considered as the greatest shooter ever, all time, not just in the NBA, I would say, all over, all time, wherever, however. And so when he's younger, it's his dad, who was also a great shooter, talked to him, it's like, okay, you're doing great. And it's like, when you get older, let's see if this is something that you like to embark on as a career, to become an NBA player. And so this is still he was still a teenager then. Yeah. And eventually he talked to his dad, said, yes, this is something that I'd like to do. Okay. So his dad said, okay, we need to change our shooting form. Okay. So because the way he would shoot before was because he was small, and small compared to his peers, he had to shoot in a form that where he could make those shots. But his dad said, but those are blockable shots. Okay. So that's why we'll need to change our form. So eventually he changed his form. But what he noticed was, because of the transition, his field goal percentage went down because he's still adjusting to it. Eventually he was able to transition well and become better at it and to do well. I shared that. Hopefully it's not an urban myth or anything, but it's a nice story. It seems to be true, but it showed the process of learning when it comes to learning a new skill. Number one, it's you have to understand first, it's okay, there's a need to learn something new. So it starts with that. And the second is to be able to understand where the adjustments will have to be made. Okay. And to also accept that as you learn, there will be struggles. So in his case, there's a dip in his performance, and that's acceptable. Right? And then finally, to be able to persist. Right? Because if you stop, you could be already on the verge of that correction or that learning that you're looking out for, and you stop. So you're not able to persist, right? So having that kind of mindfulness or conscientiousness about the process will be very important. Now, he had his dad, but he didn't have his dad all the time. Steph Curry didn't have his dad with him all the time. So there will be more opportunities that you will be with yourself, right? You'll be with yourself, talking to yourself, and how you motivate yourself. Now, as parents, you have the opportunity to impact your children, to coach them, to motivate them. But at the end of the day, how your children will process this will even be more important. Right? That's why I focus on the process about like, oh, if I were to talk to my 15-year-old self. Because when I talk to myself, it's like that's where the crossroads are. Like, okay, am I going to persist or am I going to stop? Right? Because very often many would stop, like, okay, this is like too hard for me. I stop, right? And that the reason I also shared about the process because I used to get so involved in so many things that I start and not sometimes I start first lesson and I stop, or sometimes I went through like the 20th lesson, then I stop because I felt that I didn't have it or it's not for me, but just because of a lack of persistence. And because of that, that also is now something that I recognize. Oh, this is something that's very normal for many people. But it's even though it's normal, doesn't mean it's good. So it's something that I like this kind of my vision to share that it's, you know, if you're going through something that you like to learn and with your children, for the 15-year-olds here, like be mindful. It's like, okay, if this is really something that you want to do, make sure that you would pause and reflect on how you're going about it.
So good, so good. I'm a preacher, so I like these P words that are popping out, right? Persistence, pause, performance, process. It's fantastic. I wanted to ask you just finally, what was one piece of, you know, God-shaped, gospel-shaped advice that you might have for our spiritual family here today? Whether it pertains to learning or anything that you want, just final words that you want to say.
At the end of the day, we have to recognize our purpose in life, right?
P words, man.
Yeah. My last name is Pandilio, so I have a bias for P.
Perfect.
So it's very important that we always will go back to that. Yeah. So that's something I will share later this afternoon. Because when we go back to our purpose, it will drive a lot of the things that we do. Yeah. And when we recognize, when we latch on to our life purpose, then it gives us that extra push, right? That extra motivation. Because the reality of life is that there will be struggles, there will be challenges, but sometimes it's so easy for us to forget that these struggles, these challenges are the ones that will bring us to the next level. These are the ones that will like, oh, I'm because of these struggles and challenges, I'm going to make it. Because I learned so much from these that I went through before that like, oh, thank you, Lord, for, you know, you recognize later on, like, thank you, Lord, for what you have allowed me to experience. Because now I'm able to overcome what I'm trying to overcome now. Right? Quickly share with you, like, when we took on the school challenge, we were faced with a big challenge of having to build a school building, because we have a growing population. And when we started with that project, our budget was about, I'm thinking of like, you know, like US dollars. So let's say about $250,000. That was kind of like the initial project for the school building. So great, you know, we have set aside that budget. But because of certain issues that came up, the $250,000 jumped to like $2 million. So that was like a big shock, right? You know, like, oh, suddenly like $250,000 to $2 million. How many of you had that kind of like experience in life where like you set aside this, you know, and then it's like, oh, suddenly it's like this, right? So it was kind of like such a big shock. And by God's grace, you were able to overcome that and be able to not only survive but also thrive, you know, based on that experience. But going through, breaking down the process of how we were able to go through, then gave me the confidence and the strength and the learning that allowed me to build organizations to the next level, because those became like building blocks of organizational building. And that's something that I will always treasure, because how I handled, how my wife and I handled those stress points before will never be forgotten. And that cannot be replaced, because that was such a big stress point. Just like, okay, will we still have this school because of this challenge, right? And you feel very responsible for the community, right? But then what we learned, and after we have overcome that with the support of many, it's like, oh, this is something that is such a great blueprint that will help us overcome similar or even different challenges, because the principles can be applied in different ways.
So good. So good. How many of you are going through processes right now where you're struggling to, you know, like really see the breakthrough? And just hearing that word persistence, you sense that's a word from the Holy Spirit for you. How many of you sense that and a part of what you're dealing with? I'm going to ask Dr. Wallace if you can pray for those of us who are going through it before I just kind of tie this thing on with a bow. If you can just pray for those of us who are needing that sort of persistence and the process that God's bringing us through.
Okay, let's all stand for prayer. Dear Father, I come to your presence, Lord, knowing that we're here by an accident, but by your divine purpose. We know, Lord, that each of our each member of our spiritual family here, you have a special purpose and plan for them. We know, Lord, that the season of their lives, some of them might be going through some difficulties, challenges, realities that might be shaking their very core. But we pray, Lord, that even as they go through this, Lord, you will use this mightily, Lord, for your purpose. We know, Lord, that you are sovereign, that you are in charge, and that the commitment that they have, Lord, in you will provide them with such strength, wisdom, and power, Lord, that they will be able to overcome and surmount. That the reality that they're facing now will not be the same reality down the road. That the things that they're going through now will change. These challenges will come to pass, and they will look back and see that you are good, that you are amazingly good. We thank you, Lord, for every single person here, and that you will give them the seeds of righteousness, of blessings, the seeds of fruitfulness. And pray that whatever they have learned today, you will make it special, bountiful, prosperous, with so much growth, not only financially, not only relationally, but in many other ways that they can never, ever foresee or even imagine. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Can we give it up for Dr. Wallace, everybody? Turn to somebody, tell them, you're going to learn today. Go ahead and take a seat, everybody. Okay, if I was to ask you this question, when you think about wisdom, when you think about learning and wisdom, what's the first image that comes to mind when you think about wisdom and learning? Common image that many people might think about is maybe a library of books. How many of you, when you see something like that, you're like, that looks like an amazing library. I'm a book nerd. I love to read. And when I see a picture like that, I would love a house like that with more books that just are on display that have more knowledge than I'll ever be able to read anyway. Just to know that that's there and I can go somewhere to learn something. How many of you think of like books when you think of wisdom? Nobody thinks of that. But okay, it's just me. All right, that's fine. How about when you think about wisdom, you think of somebody like who's like an old sage, somebody that you would ask advice from, an elder. You know, a lot of us come from cultures where we celebrate the wisdom of the elders. But how many of you also have uncles that think they know it all, right? How many of you have those? You know, like you love hearing their narratives and learning about their lessons of life and the wisdom, you know, that's been transferred from generation to generation. How many of you think about that when you think about wisdom? But how many of you know, like when you think about what shapes the way we view the world, many apologists will describe them in four categories, right? What shapes every worldview, not just the Christian worldview, but any worldview with regards to how you discern what wisdom is and what it's not. You firstly got to answer the question of origin, like where did we come from? Secondly, you've got to answer the question of destiny. Where are we going? Thirdly, you've got to answer the question of value. What holds ultimate value? And then fourthly, like Dr. Wallace was saying, you've got to answer the question of purpose. What are we doing? Where are we going with this? And so these are the four questions that we've got to kind of run through the gamut of where we and how we interpret wisdom and learning. And so, you know, when you consider how we consume things that should give us wisdom, some of it's not wise, right? When you consider like the sources for your news, what you might consume on social media, the books that you read, the things that you hear in your workplace. How many of you hear some, I know we're trying not to be stupid, but how many of you hear stupid things in the workplace sometimes? Well, I heard this. Well, I heard that. And you've got to sit there and discern whether to embrace that as wisdom or to put a shield up because that's stupid, right? I'm not saying stupid like we say here in Australia. We're going to say stupid, right? Don't be stupid. Turn to somebody and tell them, don't be stupid. So whatever we consume, we're gonna have a truth that we are able to discern what really is wisdom. And I love that Dr. Wallace mentioned that despite, you know, and here in Australia, we live in a very post-Christian society where there's almost a removal of every ounce of scripture that might be labeled as the truth of which we discern wisdom. But we know as followers of Christ, not just in a church setting or in a home devotional setting or in our life groups, we know that the benchmark for wisdom is the scriptures. How many of you know that to be true? But how about this? Like, we live also in a generation that is very biblically illiterate, where we don't place enough emphasis, especially amongst the next generation, and them knowing the scriptures and knowing the truth of how to interpret the scriptures. And so a lot of the way that you may discern the scriptures may come more from pop cultural references, like Jesus is my homeboy, or whatever Kanye West says about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that none of that is truth, but you've still got to discern whatever the public says about Jesus and what is the truth of Scripture. Can I get an amen for somebody who believes that, right? So it's really important that we understand that wisdom comes from God, okay? There are some things that are labeled as wisdom, but unless they are discernibly arriving to us from God, who is the source of all knowledge and all wisdom, then we've really got to have the right filters up to discern whether this is truth or whether this really is a lie. And I love that we have so many references within the scriptures kind of showing us the importance of how much God values wisdom. Now, in the book of Psalms, we have many wisdom psalms. These are the psalms that I've just listed here. And I'm not going to go through Psalm 119, number one, because we've already gone through it. Number two, because it's 175 verses long. All right? I'm going to go a little bit through Psalm 1, and I'm going to go through some of these just to help you to understand what wisdom looks like through a biblical lens. Is this okay? So I need you to kind of take notes. I'll put them in a nice graph or a nice, I don't know what you call this thing, but it's in boxes, all right? And so hopefully it'll help you, a chart, to be able to see what wisdom is like. And I encourage you as you go through these Psalms to study them in your own time, to look at what wisdom looks like. All right. So the first Psalm, Psalm 1, you'll remember this. We started with Psalm 1 when we were going through this series. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates. Everybody say meditate. Meditates on the law day and night. So we can see that godly wisdom delights in God's ways. You're going to hear this quite often, right? Like how many of you, when you look at God's ways, you actually delight in them? You're like, this is good. Somebody who embraces worldly wisdom, or dare I say the life of stupid, does not like God's ways. How many of you know, like, you can sit in a church like this, hear about God's ways and be like, this looks better, right? This is not godly wisdom. So learning to delight in God is also learning to delight in His Word, because His Word is His ways, right? But notice this also in that verse 1 and 2. It's also the company we keep. You can tell a person's wisdom by looking at the closest relationships that person might keep. Psalm 14 goes on to start. It kicks the whole psalm, starts off like this. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. I just find it funny and a little offensive that it says, the fool says in his heart, as if women can't be fools. But, like, you know, I guess it's just as us as men, right? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So the wise person must say that there is God. And how many of you know we live in a society that doesn't celebrate not just the laws of God, but the existence of God? They are corrupt and they do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. So when we look at godly wisdom, we're looking at those who are looking and seeking for God. If you look and read through the rest of that psalm, it talks about the one who is wise, who earnestly seeks after God, goes after God, makes time in their schedule to pursue God, and finds refuge in God. You want to know what image I think of when I think of wisdom? As an umbrella. Thank you, Rihanna. I think about an umbrella. I'm not superstitious. I think about an umbrella. Thank you, Edwina, for this prop. This wisdom is like a shelter. Right? To go outside of this umbrella, to think, oh, I'm going to go my own way, is to live unwisely. You're going to catch cold. You're going to wet all your clothes. Those of you who are sneakerheads, you know what happens to your sneakers when you step outside of the rain. But when you're under the shelter of God, He gives you everything that you need in life, including wisdom. How many of you believe that to be true? Right? The verse 2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. So it's seeking to stay under His shelter. Even in hard times when things might seem like they collapse, during the middle of your sermon, you just keep on going because He covers you. Amen? Right? Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Turn to somebody, encourage them. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn and your vindication in like the noonday sun. I know some of us come from cultures where we like I come from a culture, we celebrate tans. But I know some of you come from cultures where you like your light skin. So the umbrella helps to keep that, you know, like the light from all of you that prefer it that way. Chapter 37. All right, it starts off by saying, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let me say that again. Take delight in the Lord. There's that delight word again. When's the last time you delighted in God? Delight in Him and He will give you your heart's desire. Stay in the zone of delight. Where did you get this umbrella from? It's a Daiso umbrella. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, if I'm outside here, it means my desires are different. I want to live in a way that's different to the way God wants me to live. And in the same way, you might pursue the desires of your heart outside of the zone of His shelter, right? And so what ends up happening is you produce the fruit outside of the wisdom of God and therefore produce the fruit of stupid, right? When you are under the shelter of the Most High, every promise that God gives you is yes and amen, right? So as you delight in Him under the shelter of His presence, He gives you everything that you need. Because guess what? Your desires are His desires. The things you delight in are His delights. Your delights are different. You start living in ways that are unrighteous. You start to do things where you think like, okay, God, you know, under this shelter, I have to trust in You. I'm just going to put this away. You get what I'm saying? Like when you're living under His shelter, right? It's like He's going to provide for you. He's going to take care. When we think about provision, like Dr. Wallace was saying, sometimes we think just simply with regards to finances and prosperity that way. But it's more than that. It's prospering in your relationships. When you move outside of the shelter of His presence and you try to make relationships happen the way you want them to happen. So you become the sort of person that walks into the room and you ask the question, what can you do for me? Rather than how can I serve you, right? And so when you move that way, you're moving in your own strength. And you wonder why those types of people that move and operate in not in the wisdom of the Lord, but in their own knowledge, become more anxious, become more depressed. When the answer to that is actually just to fight to stay under the shelter of the Most High, which brings me to the next psalm, right? He or she who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide. Everybody say abide. Abide means to remain in Him. Shall remain in the shadow of the Almighty, staying under the shelter of His umbrella. Ella, ella, right? I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress is my God in whom I trust. Do you trust the Lord today? Do you trust Him, single people? I'm just going to leave that there. Right? Do you trust Him, married people? Do you trust Him? I don't know if I'm single or married people. Do you trust Him? Because as you trust Him, it's declaring, I'm living under the shelter of the Most High, under the shadow of His wings. That's wisdom. The thing I love about the umbrella analogy is it's portable. It goes with you. He promises His presence for those who walk in His ways. Too many of us want to do it our way, right? Like Frank Sinatra for the younger generation, Usher, right? We want to do it my way. But God says, no, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights, there's that word again, in His commandments. And then lastly, Psalm 133. Blessed and behold, how good and pleasant it is for those of us who are brothers and sisters to dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the collar of his robes. For there the Lord commands the blessing. That's what happens when you walk in wisdom. God promises us prosperity when you walk in His ways. I'm landing the plane here because I think we've gotten enough of a touch of what wisdom looks like from Scripture, from what Dr. Wallace has shared and what I'm sharing with you today. But hopefully, you know, you're able to take these Scriptures and actually break them down yourself. But understand this. Number one, wisdom is His. It's a gift from God to you. He gives you the gift of wisdom. Remember Solomon, he cried out to God, and God said to him, I'm going to give you anything. You can give you riches, I can give you the nation, I can give you people's servanthood. And he said, no, I cry out for the wisdom of the Lord. And it's the wisdom of the Lord that enables you to walk in His perfect ways. The Greek word is chokmah, which is the ability. It's applied knowledge. It's taking knowledge How many of you know there's a lot of people with degrees, but they're not using the degrees, right? More degrees than Fahrenheit, but they still don't know how to walk in the ways of the Lord. This is what the chokmah of the Lord is. It's applied knowledge, knowing that you are anointed to do what God has anointed you to do. God has an anointing on every single one of your lives. There is a specific task and purpose that God has for you as a part of the body of Christ. So a lot of our walking in wisdom is figuring that out with the Holy Spirit leading us and seeing how we can be connected as a community to see God walk out His purpose and His plans in our learning and our wisdom and in our ways. I'm a firm believer in vocational discipleship, like cracking the code on what every single person in here is called to do. Like seeing God's fingerprint in terms of how He's molding us and shaping us to be a certain way. A lot of us don't like that process that Dr. Wallace was talking about. See, when we trust in His wisdom, sometimes He breaks walls. Like what I talked about last week, C.S. Lewis, right, in Mere Christianity, talking about how we want our little cottage and we want God to renovate our cottage. Ooh, just do an HGTV on my cottage, God. You know, just open up the walls, you know, make sure the room flows, make sure there's good light and ambience in my cottage. But then when God starts knocking down the exterior walls, like, oh, hold on. I didn't want you to do that. And God's like, do you trust me? Do you trust me when I remove this window and knock your garage down that I'm actually doing a greater work, because the cottage that you desire is nothing compared to the castle He wants to make you? Trust in Him. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. God starts breaking down barriers. Maybe the way you grew up was always to be around people that are like you, whether in ethnicity or speaking the same language as you, or maybe, to be around people who have the same likes as you. And then God begins to break down those walls, and then all of a sudden you're surrounded by people whom you have nothing in common with. And God says, great, that's the body of Christ. That's what it's supposed to look like. It'd be a sad day if this church was called Every Nation and it's just sermons. Just be noise. Diba? So the gift is His. But my last thought is, the choice is yours. I'm reminded in Proverbs chapters 1 to 9. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through all of them. But like chapters 1 to 9, there's this juxtaposition between these two ladies. There's Lady Wisdom, Sophia in the Hebrew. And then there's Miss Folly, or Madame Folly. And it juxtaposes the difference between those who pursue Madame Folly. On the surface level, Madame Folly is someone who she sells herself. She uses lust as a lure to lure people in. And so you might think it's just purely with regards to, you know, trying to lure people into lustful situations, situations of promiscuity. But it's deeper than that. It's when we start to be lured into the qualities or the lack of qualities that Madame Folly proposes, where everything is centered around the self, self-pleasure, short-term thinking, short-term pleasure, whereas the wisdom of the Lord is selfless. It's God-word. It's always thinking about an eternal process that God wants to bring us through, and sometimes that can be hard, but to walk in wisdom is what God desires for us. The gift of God is wisdom. The choice is yours. What's your choice today? I'm just going to close with this verse here, and I know many of you know this passage already. But the passage is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I just want to read this for you. I believe, you know, just like it was a word given to the people of Israel as they were preparing to enter into the promised land. And some of them were complaining, oh, we want to go back to Egypt. Sounds like some people who want to walk out of the shelter of the umbrella, right? Listen to this. When God had what we call JTB, right? John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. When he baptized Jesus, when Jesus came up out of the water, you'll remember what happened? God the Father said of his Son, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased," right? But what else happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Why didn't he come upon him like an elephant? You ever thought about that? Why did he choose dove? I'll give you the reason. I really believe that there is a sensitivity that we are to walk with. See, doves will stay on your shoulder as long as you walk sensitive to the dove. If this is my dove, like if I'm walking around, just jumping around everywhere, the dove's going to see it. But if I'm sensitive to the leading of the dove, the wisdom of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is likened to wisdom, the great counselor, right? Counsel means wisdom. And if I'm sensitive to the leading of the dove, how many of you know I will lead a life that is full of wisdom? In the same way, God proposes to the people of Israel as they're about to enter into the promised land. And he's proposing to every single one of us today these words from Deuteronomy 30. Here's what he's saying to you. And I want you to hear this from the Lord. As we've learned also with regards to meditation, hear me read this and hear the words the Holy Spirit might be saying to you. You can close your eyes if you want to for a moment, or you can keep them open. However, just stay undistracted as I read this, and let's listen for what the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you. He says to you, like he said to Moses and the Israelites, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today, you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over to Jordan to enter to possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." The question I ask you today, church, is what will be your choice? Will you choose to live in wisdom, or will you choose your own way? Some of us in this room may even need to partake in the delight of repentance. Maybe you've been trying your own way for far too long, and God's inviting you back under the shelter of his wisdom, the shelter of the Most High, to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And sure, there's a process. Sure, it's going to be hard. But the Lord promises that he will never leave you or forsake you. I want to pray for anybody in here that's in that predicament, whether it's a specific issue, maybe it's specific things, or maybe it's your whole life. You're just saying, you know what, Pastor Nelly, I want to give my whole life over to God. I want to trust him today. I want to walk in this wisdom. That's you today. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you today. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes, everyone. If you're here today and your desire is to walk in the wisdom of the Lord and to choose life and to walk away from certain things that have been a distraction to you, that have pulled you away from walking in his perfect wisdom, and I just want to invite you just to lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for, and I want you to pray with me. Awesome, awesome. So just keep your hands up. Pray for these ones. Lord, I pray for these ones who have their hands up today. I thank you, God, just for the challenge that you've issued through your word and through just the encouragement that we've received from Dr. Wallace as well. Lord, we pray God, for the grace to be able to live in your wisdom, to abandon our thinking that distracts us from moving in accordance with your will. For every foul thought, for every self-centered issue, Lord God, even every issue of pride where we've begun to just, you know, trust in our own capacity rather than to trust in your will and your word. Today that changes. So Lord, with lifted hands, we repent. We turn away from self-centered thinking and we turn towards you. God, have your way. Have your way. Just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today, turning away from sin and turning towards you. I acknowledge that you are Lord and that you rule in my life from this point forward. I trust you. And Lord, even when it is hard, I abandon every thought that would drag me backwards. But Lord, let me move forward in your will and your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give him praise, everybody? Thank you, Jesus. For those of you who put your hands up, please let us know. We really want to pray as to how we can pray and stand with you. Don't journey on your own. We want to stand with you on this journey and help you. We're a church that celebrates discipleship as well. Again, it would be wise for you to get with somebody who can help mentor you and walk with you through it all. And let's take a couple of minutes right now, maybe three or four, just to unpack all that we've learned today and just to talk about what our choice is. And maybe you want to pray together with the people that are seated next to you. Go ahead and do that. And then we'll enter into a time of worship and song. Amen? Go ahead and do that.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.